said there was a judge in a certain town who feared neither God nor respected any individual. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, "Render a just decision for me against my adversary." For a long time, the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, "While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me." The Lord said, "Pay attention to what the dishonest judge said. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones, who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" In the Gospel of the Lord. Many times here that we should act with a preferential option for the poor. This phrase began to be used in 1968, but was simply an elegant way of expressing a biblical truth. Jesus tells us in the always disconcerting chapter 25 of Matthew's Gospel, "Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me." This, however, has roots deep in the Old Testament. The Jewish law itself stated in Deuteronomy, "Cursed be he who violates the rights of the alien, the orphan, or the widow." God himself takes the part of the poor, those who we would consider marginalized. The Lord protects strangers, sustains the orphan and the widow, but thwarts the way of the wicked, says the psalmist. The Lord is particularly concerned that justice be done for them while the hearers come to hear. Isaiah says, "May justice surely redress the wrong, hear the orphan's plea, defend the widow." Let us look now at the characters in the situation in today's parable. The widow is among the poor to be protected. The judge is at the very least indifferent to her wickedness. He did not respect anyone, much less the poor woman. He also showed that he did not fear God, who has claimed the poor as his own. Yet she will receive justice because he is afraid that she will treat him unmildly. Truly bad men will listen and act properly. How much more will God? This would have a very special meaning to the early Christians. They have declared themselves followers of Jesus and now awaited his return. They are as innocent as the widow, but have found many in authority who were as wicked as the judge. Jesus has told them that they will be hauled before judges, and indeed there will be division within their own families. But they are finding this too long away. Want Jesus to act now. If not an immediate return, a little spiking of their enemies would certainly be appreciated. Luke's response to this is very subtle and profound. He compares them to widows, people to whom God has shown preferential care. They are loved and protected. They are part of God's plan, but not all. Luke does not compare them to kings, prophets, or priests, or even messengers, whose power is found in their strength, but the widow, a person powerless by their death by definition. Look now at the end. "I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The disciples might very well say that if this is Jesus' idea of speed, and then he will find very few people waiting. There is something here, of course. We may be widows and orphans protected and loved by God, but we can find that love very far away, among our pressures, very close indeed. Certainly, we all need to pray for patience, forbearance, and hope. Yet this is the Gospel of St. Luke, and there is always another mention. Blessed are those servants whom the Master finds vigilant on his arrival. And then I say to you, you will gird yourself, have them reclined on the table, and proceed to wait on them. We read this passage several weeks ago, and saw that vigilance meant looking not up at the sky for the Lord's return, but at the needs and wants of those around us. That is true here as well. This is how Jesus will know if we're to stay, by what we are doing and who we are doing it for. Last week we celebrated the feast of St. Pope John XXIII, who called the Second Vatican Council, in whose spirit I was born. One sign of this is the desire to see everything through the lens of Scripture. I find it significant that we've done looking at stewardship while reading St. Luke's Gospel. This is the most concerned that why Jesus has called us to the moment for community and the necessary spirituality for it. Next year, we will be implementing how we wish to be stewards. We'll be reading from St. Matthew's Gospel, which will be read as a handbook for the building of the church. Scriptural seminary. So, let's look at the results so far. Last week, I asked those who were present to make a renewed commitment in support of the parish. One of the realities of this community is that many of us travel a great deal and are not able to be present at St. Charles every week. Therefore, we must do everything several times to reach everyone. I asked the forbearance of those who heard this and filled out the card last week as I addressed those who did not. Over the past few years, our weekly offering has consistently been one of the lowest in the world, in both amount and per capita. Over the same time, spending bills, and worse, the parish has steadily risen. As our next financial report, which will be published in a few weeks, will reveal, we have had to use some of the income to pay operating expenses. It will take greater sacrifices to St. Charles to maintain, much less expand, our ministries. As we make our commitments today, remember that we are truly returning to God what has first been given to us. Ownership lies with Him. Now, this is how this will work. You should either have a card in the mail that you brought to church, or this brother, one of the ushers, will give it to you now. There are pencils throughout the entire church. Some of them help me take them all back and put them out of the should be around. My goal is to receive a card from every family attending this pastor. And I emphasize today. Tomorrow I will meet with parish leaders and our accountants to plan, that's always the focus for us, to plan our strategy. For the loan to complete the work on the church in a timely manner. We will need to have a much better idea of what we can reasonably expect in our regular collections, and how much money, if any, we will have to direct from our rental money. As most of you know better than I, we can direct to this project the better the terms, the more we can direct to this project, the better the terms we can expect, and the faster this will be accomplished. Give you an example. If we do really well on our pressure, we can put $50,000 a month from our rentals into the loan, which will really give us a nice cushion. If we have to start taking money out, probably closer to $43,000 a month. That could mean that it would take longer. Also, anyone who's done any of the renovations, you know, they can give you the estimate and any kind of smile. You know the section. Hopefully it's rather nice section. Because there's always something. $750,000 question. The question on that's that. We could go on continuously for our board. So if you brought your recommendation card from the mailman to you today, you greatly appreciate it. It was collected in a moment. If you didn't bring one from what was mailed to you, you didn't get the mail, you ushers have to vote and pass them out. We ask you to review it. If you bring your return your card, to the office. For those filling out the forms, please print your name and address on the bottom portion of the card. Even if you have a card, check if you insert the cell number and email address is correct. You want to use this opportunity to update our records. Please indicate the amount that you typically give to the collection at the top of the card. And on the next line, please indicate the new amount you are committing to. I'd like to remind you that this is not a pledge in any form. It should serve as a promise between you and God. But if something happens along the way, you certainly understand. You really do want to get a better idea of what we have. Next, please check under the board options. Yes, I'm interested in increasing my vocabulary through my parish's online giving. Please send me your. I encourage you to consider signing on for electronic giving through the DCA program. It is the way I work to the parish. It's simple, convenient, and it takes no more than a few minutes to do it. If I or dyslexic can do it within three minutes, I assure you it can. It also benefits the parish by reducing mailing costs and accounting for the weekly offertory fluctuations. As I know, during the weeks that we are not here, as well as when we are. And this is, we can survive on a few days where the court presents single events, but only on a long-term giving. You can have a voluntary charge to your credit card, which is great because you can earn reward or loyalty points, or simply have it deducted from your bank checking or savings account. The appropriate box if you are interested, make sure to write out your email address to me. We'll send some information and a link to get started. So yes, I'm interested in increasing my repertoire of envelopes. If you're not currently receiving envelopes and wish to receive them, please include your telephone number. You can say that you are praying, you have not made a decision as yet, or amen. Please tell us why it is. Again, we need to have a handle on this. We need to have a model. So, I think I spoke too fast because they told me to drag this out for at least 10 minutes. So please look through the collective with the regular collection. If you give me a few minutes more to